If you're our guest today, it is a pleasure to have you with us. We are looking at the whole book of the whole chapter of Acts, chapter 11. Last week we did the whole chapter, and because it all kind of gelled that way, it wasn't easy to separate any paragraphs out of it. So really, we're doing the same thing today. And so go home and read chapter 11, and Danny will put the notes up because it is it's almost like a running commentary of the things that are going on in the book of Acts. The main thing is that how God uses a specific person, Peter, to birth the Gentile church because there was so much prejudice. You know, all of us are prejudiced from some angle. The main thing is, do we ever see it and do we ever deal with it? And it might not be prejudice toward a race. It can be prejudice toward something else. So there's all kind of prejudice, and that's what's going on. If you remember, the Jews were just pretty much said, the Gentiles, God doesn't love you, and you don't have a chance, and you can't be saved. That's basically the way it was. And so it's been hard for them, even up to this point in Acts, for them to say, yeah, maybe God does love the Jews still. And so we see it here. It really turns a corner, and the Gentile church is born. Because before now, Pentecost was the Jerusalem church. All the church was Jews. And it has been up until last week when we saw Cornelius was saved. The church wasn't actually, the Gentile church wasn't actually born yet, but there was so much prejudice that they didn't want to have anything to do with the Jews. And that's basically what's going on. So God does a monumental thing in chapter 11 when Peter comes back and deals with the church at Jerusalem and said, listen, God does care about the Jews and the Gentiles, and this is how he's shown in that. So we see a major thing in the Gentile church. And guess what? If the Gentile church had never been born, where would we be? I don't know if we have any Jewish people by blood in here. All of us are Gentiles. If this hadn't happened, where would we be? You know, we'd be lost, basically. And that's what's going on. You know, it's just amazing how we are prejudiced. You remember Aristotle? Remember what Aristotle said? He said, you take two elements of some type and you drop them in the heavy one and hit the ground before the lighter one. Y'all remember that? 2,000 years. Everybody believe that? 1589, Galileo said, that ain't right. So what does he do? He gets a bunch of professors and puts them at the bottom of the Eiffel Tower, and he sends somebody up there, and he has a 1-pound weight and a 10-pound weight, and he drops them at the same time. And guess what? They hit the dirt at the same time. And the professors down at the bottom said, oh, no, that's not right. They just saw it with their own eyes and said, oh, no, Aristotle's still right. We're going to hold to what he said. Ain't that crazy? Prejudice. Why? I mean, that's exactly what's going on. If you can imagine this, I don't know if we really know. It's according to how old you are. You know, we're really kind of, unfortunately, kind of going back there now because of some of our leaders in the past years have moved us backwards to more prejudice in the United States than we used to have. You know, I don't know where you were, but in the fifth grade, I remember when the schools were integrated. You know, we didn't have a problem. And we got along with all kind of people and still get along with all kind of people. But in the early years of our country, there was a lot of that. And I don't even want to remember his name, but some guy that just wrote a book, and pretty much one of these crazies is interviewing him on the television. He said, oh, yeah, pretty much the Constitution is trash. Why? Because he doesn't like the way things have been done. And so there's a prejudice everywhere. All of us have it about something. And Peter had it. You know, last week, God had to show Peter, listen, if I tell you something, don't contest it. When I say that the Jews and the Gentiles are both in the same boat, that there's nobody unclean, there's nobody can't be reached by me, he said, you just believe it. Because Peter said, no, I don't agree with that. And God had to show him. So Peter has had that deal, he had that dealt with Cornelius, and now the word has gone back to the church in Jerusalem. Remember, that's where the church is born. The first church was Jews in Jerusalem, so it's kind of the center, and it comes throughout the whole book of Acts, and it's very, very important because you got to have a solid base, and God started it there. So Peter, word gets back to the Jerusalem church that Peter is down there in the Gentiles, or been saved. And the evidence of it, they've received the Holy Spirit. So the word has already gotten back to Jerusalem, so they're calling Peter up there and say, we need to know about this. All right, now remember who Peter was, right? Okay, the first Gentile church, Acts chapter 11. What did Jesus say in Acts chapter 1? You stay here till the Holy Spirit comes, and then what? You shall be witness, you receive power, and that the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, where they were. Then you draw the circle out, and you go to all of Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the rest of the world. So what Jesus said was happening is starting to happen. We saw Philip in Samaria, where there's a great revival going on, so it's starting to come out. And now it's starting to come out to the uttermost part, to the Gentiles. And the Jews just had a big problem with that. You know, we have some extended family members. When they died, they still had some major prejudice. Were they Christians? I believe they were. But it had been ingrained in them all their life, and they died with it. They did. It's hard to overcome. I'm not saying it's not. It is, but it can be done. And God said, it must be done if my plan to evangelize the world is going to come to pass. And he said, I'm going to have the right person, and the right person was Peter. Last week we saw he was the key to a lot of things that unfolded, and he had to get right before he'd unlock it. And here he is coming back there today. The plan of the plan for God to tell the world began in Jerusalem, and then it started spreading, and now it's got to keep going. But in order for the Jews to be a part of that, they must understand that God cares for Gentiles as well as the Jews. And they didn't believe that. How many times did Jesus deal with that? What did the Pharisees pray? Oh, I pray that, thank the Lord that I'm not what? A woman and a Gentile. That's kind of, what does that tell you? Boy, they were prejudiced to the max. And Jesus is dealing with this stuff. It's there. And so we come to 11, we see that the news has gotten back to Jerusalem, so Peter's going to have to go up there and deal with it. And when he shows up, they already have preconceived ideas because they don't like it. Now, you know, you always need to be careful what you say about somebody else, because you could say something negative about somebody else, and then another somebody meets them for the first time, and they don't know anything about them, but they already have preconceived ideas about that person because something you said about them. You know how that works? Boy, I've seen it how many times in my own life. We have to be careful. Why? Because we already prejudged based on that's exactly what they did. And they contended with him. They fussed with him. They doubted it. And that's what the words actually say in there. So he comes back, and man, he's coming up, and he knows this is going to be tough because he knows Peter. You know, the first problem always with an alcoholic is to admit that he's an alcoholic. The first problem with any kind of addiction is admitting that you're having a problem, right? The problem the Jews had was admitting that God really cared about the Gentiles. And it's tough. And Peter knew it. So when he goes back up there, but the way he deals with it shows, and we can see so many principles out of this chapter with how we are supposed to operate our businesses, our churches, everything from a leadership position. How do we do these things? How would God honor those things? How are they supposed to happen? Peter is the man. You know, Jesus already called him out, and he says, upon this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And Peter has been the key factor from day one at Pentecost to here. Why? God needed one man to do that. And Peter was the one he chose. He could have chose James or somebody else, but he chose Peter. And that's exactly what it is. He is the man for this position to get it done. So now he's going back up there, and he understands God had to deal with him to show him that, but he also understands he's going back to talk to people who haven't had the vision he has. Everybody won't see things the same way you see them, especially if you've been through a hard time, right? You know, a lot of times people really can't relate to you unless they've had to go through the same thing that you've gone through. You know, that's just the way it works. They might try, and they may have sympathy, but unless they've done that, it's just not exactly the same thing. Peter knows that, but the way he handles it, he doesn't trumpet just because of who he is. He knows what's going on. He gave him a special understanding through that vision. You know, if you missed last week, you can go back and look at the notes of what was going on, how he dealt with Cornelius at the same time he was dealing with Peter, and he had to show both of them through visions. This is exactly what he has in mind, and that's what he does. Why? Because it's monumental. It's absolutely necessary for the Gentile church. So when he gets back and he's standing in front of all these people, you know what he does? He just goes back and does a recap of everything that went on. If you read the verses, he'll say, I was here and I saw this vision and I did this. So all he does was he gives them the facts. Isn't that amazing? Facts. Where are we now in this world? Nobody cares about truth. Oh, it's a feeling. I have this feeling. No, what is it? What's the truth? He deals with this a little bit later. Apparently, already the word was back there, and I'm hurrying up, okay? All this is, again, just go back and read the whole thing. It's in there. It's amazing how we do this, right? It's amazing how our prejudice affects us if we're not careful. And that's what he's dealing with. These people are already there. It says, and when Peter had come to Jerusalem, those who had the circumcision, which was a Jew, the Jews, that's what that term is. It's exactly the same. That's what it means. Contended with him. Boy, they were mad as fire. They doubted, number one, that it happened, and they were angry. You know, it's amazing how our prejudice can make us angry, isn't it? Hello? Well, if you don't believe like me, and then how it comes out, it can be quite ugly. So he had to deal with this group of people, and that's exactly what it was. They contended with him, disputed him. It was not pretty, but he knew that going into it. But the main thing is this, and he expounded. He just recites the facts. He said, well, this is what happened. Let me tell you. He said, this happened and this happened and this happened. And he just goes down the line and telling them the facts of the matter. Now, what are you going to do with that? You know, well, I'm sorry, I don't believe it. Well, those are the facts. That ball is blue. I don't care if you say it's red or not. It's blue, right? Now today it's not. Whatever color you want it to be, right? Ain't that right? Nobody cares about the facts anymore. But all that going to the house of Cornelius was designed to shatter prejudice. He did it with Peter. I mean, that was the whole reason there. That was what it was for. Now, he is the leader, is supposed to help the church in Jerusalem overcome this major prejudice against the Gentiles. It's major. So we take it so easy now that we don't understand. If this had not happened, Christianity wouldn't be Christianity. It would just be another little sect coming under the heading of Judaism. And God said, no, that's not what it's supposed to be. It's totally different. It's not a bunch of Jewish laws. It's not a bunch of Jewish rituals. It's absolutely separate because of what I've done. So the spirit of the leader is this. You know, what could Peter do? Have you ever had a leader? I'm sure you have. Don't answer this out loud, all right? When you say, what about this? And they say, listen, I'm the boss. I'll make all decisions. I don't even care what you think, right? Y'all ever been around some of those? And number one, they don't have enough sense to get out of the rain. But they're your boss. Because they know somebody, so they put them in. They're not qualified for the job, but they're there, and you got to deal with it. So you kind of learn, well, I can't talk to them because they don't think anybody. Listen, all of us are always smarter than one of us. You always need some counsel from other people outside of yourself because you don't know everything, right? I don't care how young you are. I know it about 16 to what, 40 now, everybody's 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Can't tell them anything, right? Wasn't that a country song one day? I believe it was, wasn't it? That was before my time. That was after my time, I guess. What's he going to do? What is his spirit going to be about? How's he going to do that? He could go in there and say, listen, I'm Peter. You know, I'm the man. God's already signaled me out as the key leader here. I'll make all the calls, and I don't even care what you think. That's what happens a lot of time, isn't it? A boss they put in there in front of you, and so you can't have any input, so they're on their own, and they're a fool to start with, so they make foolish decisions, and who does it cost? Everybody. Is that what he did? No, that's not what he did. Don't you know who I am? You know, it's hard to believe, but there have been a couple of times when I've heard that people have commented and said that I run this church. I don't run this church. I've never made one single decision in this church without asking people that know more about it than I do, or as much as I do. Why? Because it ain't my job. Because when I stand before Jesus and he asks me about everything I've ever done, I'm going to say, well, it's Otis's fault. He told me. I didn't do it by myself. That's not what Peter said. He didn't say, oh, no, I'm the only one. You know, whatever I open up is open, and whatever I close is closed. Don't even talk to me. I know what I'm doing. And he could have trumped them. He could have. That's not what he did, though. He just recited the facts. He said it was this, and it was this, and it was this, and this. And guess what? When you look at the facts, they kind of take care of the things, right? Isn't that right? It's hard to, you know, if you really honestly want to deal with something, when you look at the facts and examine them, you don't have to do a lot of other stuff. It kind of speaks for itself. He knew it was a spiritual issue. He knew it. because he had it. And now he says, but I got to deal with this a little bit different because they haven't seen the same thing that I've seen yet. And we're going to see in just a moment, it's not just experience. Well, I'm so much farther above the rest of it. No, that ain't what he said. The second point is coming to that. He tested it two ways. Here's a principle that we need to learn in our own life personally and the life of the church. You know, how do you make a decision to do the right thing and whatever it is? Number one, he didn't do it by himself. What does the Bible say? There's wisdom in many counselors. Run it off somebody. Bounce it off them, especially somebody older than you that's lived and seen it and said, oh, that'll cause a tire to run off. Don't go down that road. Oh, well, I'm smarter than they are. No, you're not. Number one, if they're 40 years older than you are, there's no way you're smarter than they are just by the mistakes they make. Ain't that right? Hello? Oh, yeah. He took six people with him. How about that? I'm not going to go up and try to do this by myself. Number one, he knows the Jews know the Egyptian law. And number one, that is they have six witnesses. If you have six witnesses, the case is closed. He knows that. So he's not just tackling it from a spiritual perspective, even though he says, oh, it's a spiritual issue, but it's going to take this to get it done. So he's a good leader. He takes that. He didn't want to be any mistakes in the thing. So these guys can testify. They were there. They saw the Jews. They saw the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit. They saw all that went on that they were saved. They saw it. He wanted the testimony of these guys. The Jews knew that. The Egyptian law, the Jews knew that. The Romans, what did they do? Anything that had to be sealed had to have seven seals on it. That's not by chance in the scripture, by the way. You know, God has a whole plan for the whole thing. He knew that. Number two, it squares with Revelation. He didn't just wake up and say, well, I feel this is the way it is. Well, what does scripture say? Well, I don't really care what the scripture says. I just feel. When I say experience, that's what I mean. Well, that might be true over there, but I'm different. Nope. What does the scripture say? You always weigh it by the scripture. That's exactly what he did. We must never evaluate our experience on our experience alone. Well, I know God said this, but, you know, my experience is different, so this is the way it's going to be. No, that's not the way it works, and that's not what he did. Make sure anything you say, oh, God has shown me this, what does the scripture say about that? Well, I don't know what the scripture says. Well, you need to go look. The main thing is they'll say, but really, I don't care what the scripture says because I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, you read these stories where people write their Consumers Bureau about advice and they say, well, you know, we did this and we lost all this money. And you say, well, why didn't you call us first? So, because we thought you would tell us not to do it. That's why we didn't call you first. Isn't that stupid? That's exactly right. We want to be, well, God wants me to be happy, and this is what my experience is going to take to make me happy. Peter said, no, it's not on experience alone. That ain't why we're doing this. The word of the Lord said so. And John, he quotes it. John says, indeed, you will be baptized with water, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's checking with the Scripture. Jesus said the Scripture said that this is going to happen. I just happened to be there when it happened. If you're going to get mad at somebody, get mad at God. Don't get mad at me. I just saw it. See how that works? You ever made any bad decisions? Because you felt like this is what God wanted, but clearly the Bible says, thou shalt not. See, that's what's going on. But the church is covered up with it today. I don't mean our church. I mean the church in general. That's why, you know, all this church, emerging church stuff, they want to go back and reinterpret everything. It's just woke stuff. All it is, it's moved over into the church world. Oh, well, it was this way, but we got to reinterpret it all because all that's wrong. No, it wasn't wrong. It still's not wrong. God's word is God's word. Your experience does not trump God's word. That's exactly what Peter is saying. You know why I know this testimony is true? Because I was there, and these six guys that were with me, they were there. If you don't like it, take it up with God, because that's what it says. That's what the scripture actually said. All I remember is this is what happened. For as much as God gave them the same, this is what verse 17 says, the same gift as he did to us. Boy, a little theology on the Holy Spirit there. We don't have time for that one. Boy, that one's, you're talking about going to Mars and back on the issue of the Holy Spirit. Just whoever you want to talk to. I mean, what they think it means, but what it doesn't mean. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The moment a person trusts Christ and believes in him, the Holy Spirit, which is the presence of Jesus, comes inside and lives inside of you. You don't earn it. You don't seek it. It comes. It's a free gift. That's what it is. That's what it says. when they trusted Christ and believed, he says later on in the verses, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they try to say, well, if you do that, then all these other gifts are going to come, speaking in tongues and all that other stuff. That is not in the context today. We'll deal with that another day, but I know what it means. There was always a sign in the early days of the Gentiles and the Jews, and then you see it quit, that when these things happened, the presence of the Holy Spirit was there, and one of the signs was they spoke in tongues. It quit, though. After a while, you don't even see it. Even Paul condemned it, basically. He said, listen, if you're doing this and doing this, he says, that's foolish. They're going to think you lost your mind. Why don't somebody just speak intelligible words? We won't get into that issue. That's a whole other one. Who gets the Holy Spirit? Everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus. These Gentiles believed and they received the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. It doesn't say anything else. It doesn't say I have to walk down Hauser's Mill and pull a barrel full of something to get the Holy Spirit. It comes to me when I believe in Jesus. That's what it says. There is a whole world of ideas about that thing out there. We don't have time for that today. Number three, he comes to those who believe, and so Peter says, there I was. What was I supposed to do, guys? When the truth is the truth, what you supposed to do? Don't blame me. Take it up with God. He's the one who did it. Now, when they heard, here's the monumental thing of chapter 11. When they heard him recite, when they saw the evidences of it, and they saw the witnesses, this is what the verse says. When they heard these things, they quit fussing, and they glorified God. Wow. Why? That God had granted repentance to the Gentiles, then the Gentiles really could be saved. That was it. Boy, that's monumental. When they saw that, you won't ever find a Jewish statement any more important than that one. Why? Had the Jews not seen the Gentiles as possible for salvation, the Jews who had the message would have never taken it out to the Gentiles, and we wouldn't have a Gentile church. Most of us are Gentiles, right? I don't know if anybody in here is actually Jewish. You see how important that is? Sometimes we just take it at face value, and we don't really think about how monumental this was for us. The statement is one of the most shocking statements in Jewish history. It's like an alcoholic admitting, yeah, I am an alcoholic. It's like a drug abuser saying, I really do have an addiction. That's a big deal. For the Jews to admit this was monumental. And God said, it's got to be that way. And Peter was the one that he chose a long time ago. He's the man that's going to be the one. He's the leader that could get that, that God is going to channel to get it done. That God granted repentance to life, that the Gentiles could be saved. Wow, that's a big deal. Let's hurry up. God knows we have a terrible problem with prejudice. He knew Peter had it. That's why it took a serious thing for him to overcome it. The vision with Cornelius and the sheep and unclean and unclean animals. The apostles were important. You say, well, why was it such a big deal? The church started in Jerusalem. God gave the words that they would need to the apostles. They would pass it on. Remember chapter 2 and right on it says, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. God was teaching, Jesus was teaching those apostles the baseline that we needed for everything. So there had to be a base doctrinal statement on everything. It was given to the Jews in Jerusalem. So basically, everything is coming out of that church. So whenever something arises, basically you have to go back there and have it authenticated to make sure that it really is okay, because some things were not okay. We come back to this in chapter 15 when Peter, man, he started going kind of wild with some things because he wanted everybody to like him, and Paul got in his face about it. We'll come to that one. They were important. Why? Because everything God had to validate through the apostles' teaching, and it came out of the Jerusalem church. Was the apostle? Can you imagine this? We're a Christian in the first century. We have a problem, and we don't have a scripture to go to. Why? Because we're living it out. So what do? We have to have some kind of guideline. So they go back to the apostles' teaching because Jesus has been teaching them, you need this, and you need this. And you know why the church exists? For preparation for the work of the ministry. If you're not taught the right thing, can you imagine? Well, y'all know what this is. Some of you go out there and you have to work with people that don't have a clue what they're doing. Does it make a mess? Yes. What happens when you start a church and there's not some basic foundation that God has given? Boy, no wonder it goes crazy and all these things happen. So that's why the apostles' teaching was there. That's what the church was. That's what it was supposed to be. It was teaching these people because now they're going out and they got to have a baseline, the main thing, because when these problems arrive, they have to have something to go back to say, okay, this is the guideline. This is what we have to follow. So it was extremely important for that church to put their approval on this thing because they have to look at it and make sure, okay, according to what Jesus has taught us already, this is right. And that's exactly what Peter appealed to. Jesus said this already, right? That's what he quoted to when he quoted it. So when the early church came together, the standard, how they did everything, right or wrong, that was the basis. You know, we have to have a basis. You know, and that's getting away from us now. Our basis is the Scripture, but a lot of times now people say, well, we don't believe that anymore because it was written by men, so it's really not an absolute that we can work from. I believe it's an absolute that we work from. It's just as true as if Jesus walked down this aisle and spoke it. And it's just as true as if Moses walked down this aisle and spoke it. We're not to manipulate it. We're to stand under it and lift it up and say, this is what it says. And when you say that now, they say, oh, well, he's a hater. You can't tell somebody what they're doing is sin. Oh, that's hate. Ain't that hate speech now? Ain't that right? You can't tell them some crazy gender thing they're doing and they lost their mind. Oh, no, that's ugly. That's hate. You can't tell them that. Well, the Scripture says, you know, we can be more diplomatic than that, right? Hello? My wife says we can. I just say, you crazy. No, I don't. I didn't say that. Not to their face. But it, well, let me get out of here, all right? What was their guide? They had to have one. We have to have one. It's a Scripture. It's kind of funny. Let's go on down to the end, because a lot of things start to happen there in verse 18. You know, historians tell us from the time the church was born at Pentecost in Jerusalem to the time of Antioch, this thing, 7 years took place. All this didn't happen overnight. A lot of reasons why. One of the main reasons is the prejudice had to be broken down. You know, and you have to send somebody down there to check on it, and that's exactly what they do. They send Barnabas down there. You know, Barnabas is the son of encouragement. The Jerusalem church says, Barnabas, why don't you go down and check this thing out, make sure everything's on the up and up. And that's exactly what starts to take place. Now, those who were scattered back when Stephen was killed, when they scattered upon the persecution about Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus in the surrounding areas. And Antioch, preaching the word to those, but they were only preaching to the Jews. Can you see this? They left the Jerusalem church when the focus was only Jews. So now they've spread out to these places, but they're not even reaching out to the Gentiles. Why? Because they've missed this revelation that Peter has back at the church at Jerusalem. So now that Jerusalem hears it, they say, we got to send this out to these other people because they don't really know this is going on. So they get Barnabas and they send him out there. And Barnabas is the man. Remember what it says about Barnabas, right? The son of encouragement. What does he tell them? What does he do? He encourages them in these verses to stay close to the Lord. You know how you do that? By staying close to his word. And he told them, that's what you do. And it says for what, a year, he goes down there. You know why Barnabas was received by these guys that started the church at Antioch that were preaching there in Cyprus? You know where Barnabas was from? Cyprus. They don't see him as a threat. One of the worst things in Christians today is every church sees the other church as a threat. That's it. Can I be honest with you, and don't take this the wrong way? If you can be satisfied and serve Jesus somewhere else, go! Is what I say. We don't see this as a hoard mentality and we got to have you. No. If Jesus can empower you and use you somewhere else better than he can, our blessings are on you. That ain't the case always. You say, well, everybody is rejoicing with us because we're growing. No, they're not. No, they're not. Preachers are the worst. Oh, well, they got more people. And I got so sick of it for years. We don't keep up with it now. I got so sick of it for years. They say, well, how many people you have in Sunday school? I said, I don't even want to talk about it. This ain't a numbers game. And that's all they want to do. Well, we got this. I said, number one, if you got it, no wonder your church ain't doing so well. You know? If it's all based on what you do. And that's exactly. So these guys are out there, and they send Barnabas out, and Barnabas is one of the guys. There's a lot to say about that. There's a lot to say about hiring from the inside. You know what that means? The church in general has this all messed up. When they want a new pastor, they'll go out yonder to another part of the world and get somebody that don't know a clue of what's going on where this church is and think it's going to work. Hello? Go look at the New Testament as we go through it. When they promoted somebody, where did Paul get? Somebody he'd been teaching. Somebody that raised up there. He knows them. They sent him there. They know one. Barnabas was from there, knew those guys. He goes down there. They don't see him as a threat, and he works with them. And they're preaching to the Gentiles, the Greeks. Wow, isn't that amazing? You know what else happens? Barnabas says, we need some help. So he goes to look for Paul. You know, they ran Paul out of Jerusalem because they said, oh, no, he's too much trouble. We don't want him. So he goes back to his hometown, but then he keeps going. He doesn't just stop in one place, and he's evangelizing all over the place. So the verses say, and the word actually means, it took a lot of effort for Barnabas to find Saul. You know, you couldn't type in somebody's address and find out where they were then. He went to great pains to find Saul, and he went and got him, and he brought him to Antioch. And you know what it says? For over a year, they had all these musical festivals and all these suppers, and just everybody had a great time. Is that what it says? No. You know what it says they did? They talked. They talked for over a year. Boy, that's a thing of the past, ain't it? Oh, bring in one of these singers, man. You can fill up the house. Bring in a biblical scholar and... good night. Don't want anybody show up. Oh, we just want to be. There's nothing wrong with music, but it ain't the main thing. You know, it's part. It can be a good part. You know, Charles Spurgeon, good in time. Back in the 1900s early, y'all remember Charles Spurgeon? Largest church, Baptist church probably ever been, but even in that day and time. You know what he said about the music department? He said, it's the war department. There's always been a fight over music. It ain't the main thing. I know that's not good English. It is not the main thing. Can we use it? Yes, we can. It says they talked for over a year there. Can you imagine what it'd been like to have Barnabas and Saul as your preacher? Don't think about that too long. You'll get discontented there, all right? It wasn't about all this other stuff. Why? If you do not know the absolute truth, you'll make bad decisions. You can still make bad decisions. Please don't get me wrong there. When you go through Paul, he's always teaching a doctrinal position on something, and then he says, this is how this fleshes out practically. Position first, this is why. Practically, this is how. That's what it was. The church is about to bloom and go all over the place. He said, they got to know the right stuff. So they spent for over a year with them teaching. Then it goes on to say what happens. Agabus comes in and he says, man, there's a storm coming. People are getting starved to death. He tells them that, and God, they listen to him, and then they start preparing for it. That's kind of the end of the chapter. But the main thing is the right leaders paying attention to what God said is how God birthed the Gentile church. It's still important in everything we do. You know, we just don't always want to hear that. Whose way do I want? Moi. I want my way. You know, if I'm in a high enough position, I'm going to get my way. And it doesn't really matter who it hurts. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way the thing goes basically around across the board? In every dimension. That's what happens. And a lot of times the people that are making decisions, they don't even know their name. You know? You ask them, they don't even know their names. Or how they, you know, I'll never forget that guy asked Jordan Peterson. And this guy was a leftist to the max over yonder somewhere in Europe. And he was interviewing Jordan Peterson. If you don't know who Jordan Peterson is, look it up and start listening to his YouTube videos. The boy's brilliant, and he takes a stand for the right stuff and doesn't even profess to be a Christian. And he said, what about fixing this thing and this thing? That's what we want to do, and that's what we want to do. And Jordan Peterson asked him, he says, do you clean your room? And the boy looked at him and said, what? He said, do you clean up your room? He said, no, I don't clean up my room. I hire somebody. And Jordan Peterson said, if you can't clean up your own room, you can't fix this world problem. If you can't tie your own shoes, we can't teach you to work on an airplane. If you can't keep your britches up, how do you think you can do this? You see what it means? Paul said they must have the truth, and then they might make the right decision. Doesn't mean they're going to. If God's grace hadn't used Peter, where would Gentiles be? I know God, nothing's going to stop God's plan, but you see how he had to have somebody in the right place at the right time to get the thing done, and that's who Peter was. And he had to overcome some bad prejudice to get there. What's yours? What's mine? Do I even care? Do I want to fix it? Thank the Lord, He's merciful. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You that You love us first, that You had a plan for all mankind, Jew and Gentile. Father, thank You for Peter, that he would be obedient and what You had to do to get his attention, but he responded. Father, help us. Help us always evaluate anything we do by Your Word. Help us not just try to act out what we think, but we would base it upon Your Word, and that we'd seek counsel, some other people that are smarter than us, been walking with You longer, then know what the Bible says. Father, there's so much hurt going on. Help us. Help us be used by You to meet some of these needs. And help us follow Your biblical pattern for it so that Your blessings will be upon it. Thank You so much for including us, Gentiles, in Your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.